This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الإخوة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ونسأل الله تعالى أن يتقبل منا وأن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Peace and blessings on the most honorable of His prophets Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And peace and the mercy and blessings of Allah be with you all as we ask Allah to accept from us our efforts, in our efforts to learn and to understand and hopefully by His permission to grow closer and nearer to Him. We ask Allah to forgive us our sins, and we ask Him for useful knowledge and understanding which is beneficial and wide sustenance. On Him we are utterly dependent, and to Him is our return. Our final session for Hadith number 10, brothers and sisters, is this one, and I'll begin by mentioning the whole hadith very quickly with the translation, and then we'll deliberate on what I have to say about it. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim, reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hurairah said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ayyuhan nas, O people, inna Allah tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. Surely Allah is good and accepts only that which is good. Wa إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Surely Allah has ordained or ordered the believers, yeah, with the same things as He has ordained for the messengers. فَقَالْ Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it says that Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. Saying in the Quran, O you messengers, eat all of you from the good things and do righteous deeds. Surely I am fully aware of all that you are doing. وقال, and Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. O you who believe, eat from the good things that we have provided you with, Allah saying, and be grateful to Allah if you are all worshippers only of Him. And then summa zakara rajul, then the Prophet mentioned about a man, a person, yutilu safra ash'atha aghbar, who traveled long distance, disheveled and dusty, yamuddu yadayhi ila sama, raising the hands to the heavens, ya rab, as if calling out, O Lord, wa mat'amuhu haram, wa mashrabuhu haram, wa malbasuhu haram, wa ghudhiya bil haram, fa anna yustajabu li dhalik. Raising his hand, saying, O Lord, while his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, he is nourished overall in a haram manner, so how can this be answered? The conclusion of last time, as we said, is a picture. Firstly, after the introduction of Allah accepting good, meaning that which is sincere, that which is, and somebody who's not sincere then being depicted here. not somebody who's done haram, but somebody who persists in doing the haram, like it's water off a duck's back, as though they don't need to do tawbah. Ya Rab, asking for other. But how can a dua be answered when somebody is steeped in doing haram, and has no volition in trying to change themselves? That's the picture that's being given here, brothers and sisters. Not the idea that somebody has done haram, somebody has done a sin, that their prayers won't be answered. This is contrary to the rest of the Quran and Sunnah. In fact, we are all sinners, as I've said. That we are not free of sin, unlike the prophets and messengers. And so doing dua, we're in greater and dire need of doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is for those. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about muttaqeen and muhsineen, when he mentions and vie with one another, or run and rush, wasari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum, and run forgiveness of your Lord, there he mentions the quality of muttaqeen and muhsineen, part of which says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. Those who, when they have done some wrong, fahisha here means all kind of sin, munkar, any wrong, any kind of sin, or done wrong unto themselves. That's how sin is described, wronging oneself, actually. Or ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They immediately remember Allah. So this is sinful person, remembering Allah immediately. Zakarullah fastaghfaru wastaghfaru li dhunubihim, and asking forgiveness for their sins. Wa man yaghfiru dhunuba illa Allah. Who else can forgive sins except for Allah? That's their attitude. That's the attitude they have. Who else can forgive except Allah? وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they do not persist in that sinning, in that haram, while they know. This is in contrast to this person. Persist means that they make no effort for reformation or change. Otherwise, brothers and sisters, of course, doesn't mean to say if one repeats the sin a second time that there's no forgiveness and mercy. That's also against that understanding, against the Quran and Sunnah. It is against the Quran and Sunnah. And there are various authentic hadith about mentioning about person doing tawbah again and again, asking forgiveness for sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to forgive if they're sincere and if they fall into it again, and to ask them, so much so that it mentioned tens of times that this person keeps doing. And that's the idea, isn't it? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say, O my slaves, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that out of endearment to who? To sinners. Not just somebody who's just one sin. Asrafu ala anfusihim. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu means constantly being doing sin. Those who have been constant doing sin, lots of sinning. Asrafu ala anfusihim. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Do never despair from the mercy of Allah. Subhanallah. Allah is merciful, ever forgiving and merciful. Why? Never despair in the mercy of Allah. Never have despair in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. For surely Allah forgives all sins. All sins. So that's the idea of sinning, but a volition to be humble and full of humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask for tawbah sincerely, after mentioning big sins like killing and adultery, Allah SWT says, as Brother Suhail mentioned last time, إِلَّا مَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah gives the exception, except for the one who does tawbah, meaning after doing those major sins even. Man taba wa amana, and they do tawbah with real belief, khalisan yani, with their sincerity. They really do believe in Allah's forgiveness and His mercy. Yeah. Wa amila salihan, amana wa amila amalan salihan, and he or she then does good deeds. For such people, Allah will change their bad deeds into good deeds. أُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Surely Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. Yeah, ulama then talk about changing their bad deeds into good deeds. Can either mean that their bad deeds from the past change into good deeds, or it can mean that because they reform and they change their ways, their bad deeds that they used to do are now changed with good deeds because they did tawbah and reformed. Yeah? Or some say it can mean actually both potentially. Yeah? Allah is merciful and kind to us. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, remember, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Or you who believe, who have faith, do tawbah, turn back in repentance to Allah with a sincere repentance. Yeah? And the ayat, I can give you many, many examples, as we all know in Quran and Hadith. So the picture here isn't of a sinner whose dua is not accepted. The picture here is of a sinner who's not really doing tawbah and doesn't want to transfer, but making dua for other things without any real sincerity of change. And that is what's required from us, where the dua is not accepted. Dua is not accepted in another situation, which we should know about as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 105, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu alaykum anfusakum la yadurrukum man dalla idha ihtadaytum ila Allahi marji'ukum jami'a fayunabbi'ukum bima kuntum ta'malun. O you who believe, you are responsible for yourselves. Yeah? The misguidance of anyone else will not harm you in any way, O believers, in other words, if you are rightly guided. To Allah is the return of all of you, you and the misguided one. Ilallahi marji'ukum jami'a, all of you, meaning believers and disbelievers, good and bad. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And then he will inform you, meaning he will take account of you, of what you used to do with your life, in your deeds. So عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْفُسَكُمْ is the bit that we're concerned with here. You are responsible for your own selves. This ayah was one of the tabi'een, as is mentioned in by Imam Tirmidhi, in his Al-Jami'a, and it's a good hadith, he calls it Hassan, who asked one of the companions, Tha'laba Tul-Khushani, about this ayah. Yeah? He said, فَقُلْتُ لَهُ, I said to him, كَيْفَ تَسْنَعُ بِي فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ قَالَ أَيَّةُ آيَةِ. So Tha'laba said, which ayah? And he mentioned this ayah. Yeah? He said, "Qal ama wallahi, by Allah, yeah, I asked specifically about this ayah. I asked the one who is most informed, well informed. I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically about this ayah, and he said, yeah, what was their understanding? He said, بل ائتمروا بالمعروف وتناهوا عن المنكر حتى إذا رأيت شحا مطاعا وهوا متبعا ودنيا مؤثرة وعجاب كل ذي رأي برأيه فعليك بخاصة نفسك ووضع العوام فإن من ورائكم أياما الصبر فيهن مثل القبض على الجمر للعامل فيهن مثل أجر 50 رجلا يعملون مثل عملكم قال In one report of London Mubarak said there was an addition. قيل يا رسول الله أجر 50 رجلا منا أو منهم قال لا بل أجر 50 منكم. This hadith is giving one meaning of this ayah. Okay, is that be concerned about yourself. But you'll notice from this hadith. To be concerned about yourself, there can come a time when you are concerned in preserving what you've got left because things have got so bad in the society. Yeah, it's difficult enough to hold on to your deen. The society has become so bad. Okay, so in that context, this explanation is given by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did the Messenger of Allah say? He says, but carry on doing, yeah? Carry on standing for that which is right and just and standing against all that which is munkar and wrong until there comes a time. So there's a limit, yeah? But the first part is that the meaning of this hadith isn't that you just fold your arms and says, I'm just concerned with myself, I look after myself. And leave everybody else to go to hell, basically. Yeah. So notice what the first thing Prophet ﷺ said. Nay, but stand for that which is right and good and against that which is evil. That is da'wah, actually. That is being proactive in society. Yeah. That is the da'wah of showing that which is right from the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent through his final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and through all the prophets before. So until a time comes, hatta idha ra'aita, until you see what's happening in society, subhanallah, sometimes when I look at this hadith, I think, is that time already here? Perhaps it's near. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, until you see greed being submitted to. Greed being submitted to. Avarice and greed everywhere. And people are running after greedy to fill themselves. وَهَوَنْ مُتَّبَعًا And what he said, and desires being pursued. Everybody after their own desires. Yeah, look around us. وَدُنْيَا مُؤْثَرَ And dunya is given preference over akhirah. People don't give a damn of what's in the coming in the hereafter, afterlife. Everybody's after dunya. Me, me, me to do with this world. Yeah. The slogans that you see around, go for it, basically do whatever you want because life is short. It's not to do with prepared for the hereafter. فَدُنْيَا مُؤَثَرَ وَعِجَابْ كُلَّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ Everybody's full of themselves. Everybody has an opinion, yeah? And they love their own opinion, yeah? That means their opinion instead of the guidance of Allah and His Messenger. And that's the society. What did that? Then the Prophet ﷺ said, if that happens, that kind of situation arises, فَعَلَيْكَ بِخَاسَةِ نَفْسِكَ Then you are responsible to look after yourselves in such dire situations. وَدَعِ الْعَوَامِ And leave the people who are meaning steeped in this kind of thing. Leave them alone. فَإِنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ أَيَّامًا Now he's talking to the Sahaba further. He's saying, after you, O Sahaba, will come a time A sabr fi hinna, having sabr, patience and fortitude, meaning sticking to the deen, in those days, mithlul qabz ala al-jamar, which will be like holding burning embers, burning hot coal in your hands. That's how difficult and painful it will be to persist with Islam and your deen holding on to it. Lil amil fi hin, here comes the bushra and good news now. A person and are doing a good deed in those kind of days. Will have the reward like 50 others doing that deed. In other words, 50 times the reward of others doing the same deed. So now the Sahaba, the hadith goes on to mention, some of them said, it was said to the Messenger of Allah, is that 50 others from that time, from their time, or 50 of us that you're talking about, Ya Rasulullah? So the Messenger of Allah said to the Sahaba, 50 of you, subhanallah. This is real bushra, it's a beauty. I love this hadith because it gives the idea of the trials and difficulties that we may face and holding on with fortitude and patience. So that's a hadith which gives the idea. Clarify, why do I mention this hadith? Well, I mention it because of the next hadith, which is linked with this. And that is what the Prophet said at the beginning, that we mustn't understand from this verse, alaykum anfusakum, that we just bother about ourselves and don't bother about anybody else. Because if we do that, when that kind of time hasn't come quite, then we're heading for serious trouble and we will be included amongst those whose dua is not accepted. And that is clarified by the Prophet in another hadith where Abu Bakr, for example, it is mentioned, this is in Musnad Ahmad, an authentic hadith, that Qais says, Abu Bakr stood up one day to give khutbah, praised Allah, glorified him, and then he said, O people, ya ayyuhan nas, innakum takra'una hadhihi al-ayah. You recite this verse, the one I just recited from Surah Al-Ma'idah, alaykum anfusakum, ila akhir ayat, wa innakum tada'unaha ala ghayri mawdi'iha. And you put it, I mean, you put the understanding on it, which is not its understanding. What understanding did they have from it? Or just look after yourself. So he's saying you put it in the, you've got a misunderstanding of it. You're putting it in the wrong place. Wa inni sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam yaqul. Surely I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, Inna nas idha ra'u al-munkar wa la yughayyiruhu awshakallahu an ya'ummahum bi'iqabihi. Yeah, I heard the Messenger of Allah say, if people, believers, see that munkar, all kinds of wrong around them, and make no effort to change that, they are not involved in the affairs of the world, society, leaving it to shaitan to rule, then soon will come a punishment from Allah. The punishment that comes will not be just for the bad people, it will be for all of them, including them. Yeah. And similarly was mentioned, another hadith and by a companion again, Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, hadith which is also good in Tirmidhi. He said that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Walladhi nafsi biyadi," by him in whose hand is my soul. "Lata'muruna bil ma'roof wa la tanhauna 'anil munkar." You must continue to stand for that which is right and good and just, and forbid and stand against all that which is evil and unjust and harmful, all that under munkar. Yeah. Aw la yushikannallahu an yab'atha 'alaykum 'iqaban minhu. Oh, soon Allah will send down a punishment, yeah, upon you, all of you, from him. Thumma tad'unahu fala yustajabu lakum. Then you will make dua, O believers, and the du'as, your du'as will not be answered. They will not be answered. So that's a warning about talking about du'a, the kind in a situation where du'a is not being answered, where believers are not doing what they were sent to do. They're not taking their responsibility. Even though they may be very good in a ritual worship sense, this is a warning for not being proactive in society. We weren't sent to hide ourselves in caves in worship and ibadah, of ritual worship only, or sit in mosques decorating them and praying day and night. No, that time is not here. Our responsibility is reform and to be proactive in society, to share the truth, yeah, and to stand for justice. according to the principles and values that have been given to us as a blessing from Allah in the guidance of the Quran and the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Topic here, of course, is dua, brothers and sisters, isn't it? And dua, I want you to talk specifically about today. Dua is such a crucial thing. In fact, that is the dua is a sign that when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a sign of our humility and us being his ibad and slaves. Yeah? That shows our reality, the dua. Yeah? Sometimes I come across people and, you know, they think they don't need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? Believers I'm talking about. But dua with great reverence, and we'll look at some of the things later about the way to do dua, but the dua in essence is a sign of iman. Dua itself is a sign of the absence of arrogance, and arrogance is all linked with shaitan. Yeah? All linked with shaitan. That's why being the essence, why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as is reported in the authentic hadith by Nu'man ibn Bashir, and he said that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and this hadith in Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi, "Inna du'a huwa al-ibadah." Surely du'a, it is worship. Du'a is worship. It is ibadah. Remember that that's what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala sent us as his creatures for serving and worshiping Him. وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Yeah, and I have not created jinn and human being except for this ibadah of me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, to serve and worship me, because in that will be their success. Yeah? That attachment with Allah is the only real sure way of reforming human being and jinn into making them into people who are good and beneficial and kind and merciful and forgiving and just, yeah, in the life of this world. That's the only way. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs us, not needs us, yeah, that we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do his ibadah, because that's the only way we can reform. And after mentioning in the du'a huwa al-ibadah, surely du'a, it is ibadah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then recites from the Quran, Surah 40, verse 60, saying, وَقَرَى النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, the Prophet is reciting, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. He recited then, Allah saying, and your Lord says, make dua to me, I will answer you, استجب لكم. Surely those who are arrogant, full of pride, are the ones who stay away, out of arrogance, stay away from my worship. What will Allah said? They will soon enter into Jahannam, in hell. Yeah, they will soon enter hellfire. Dafirin means humiliated and debased. Yeah. Humiliated and debased. That is those who don't make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is only arrogance. Yeah. So they're not fulfilling the reality of what a human being is, our creatures before our Creator, glory be to Him. And what are we? We have nothing. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says as well, Ya ayyuha an-nasu antumul fuqara'u ila Allahi wallahu. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. All human beings, yeah, أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ, talking to all humanity now. This is a message for all of humanity. This is all human beings who are being spoken to, not just believers. You are beggars before Allah, beggars before God. You have nothing. You don't own your life. You don't own the air. You don't own anything we think we own. It's a delusion. It's a deception of shaitan. The reality, look and see when we come into the world what we own. yeah, without any volition of our own. And when we leave the world, what we take with us. Yeah. This delusion people have, I will leave something behind and people will remember me. And what will that do for you? What benefit is that? Yeah. Nobody takes anything. Nobody takes anything of their mansions and their wealth. Only deeds are the ones which get passed on. Yeah. Bad or good. Yeah. So actually, fuqara, we have nothing. We own nothing. Everything is by the will and mercy of Allah. He does as He pleases. He creates as He pleases. And He will do with us as He pleases. We have no power to question. Antumul fuqara illallah. You are beggars before Allah. And Allah, He is the one who is above all need, all praiseworthy. He is the one. If He wishes, He can get rid of you all and come with a new creation. That's Allah. That's Allah. And what we'll be able to do or say, what can we do or say? We can't even deal with one tiny little virus, brothers and sisters, can we? Yeah. We're running around dumbfounded. The whole world. Yeah. Forget about who started it, whether it was China, like Trump says, or whether it was anybody else and whose lab and what was the motive. The reality is, no infection can take place except if Allah wills, of any virus, yeah, or any bacteria. Yeah. And that was the meaning of hadith when the Prophet ﷺ said there's no such thing as infection. He didn't mean there's no such thing as infection. He means that only Allah decides who gets infected and who doesn't, and what the consequences of the infection are. Allah decides. Anyway, that's a different matter. But Allah is all powerful. If He wants to get rid of us, He can. وَمَا ذَلِكَ لَلَّهِ بِعَزِيزِ. That is not difficult for Allah to wipe you all away. So that's who we really are. And so dua is, in essence, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's what we are. If we realize our reality, brothers and sisters, then we are like that man, yeah, who's described in this hadith, who's traveled far, disheveled and dusty. It doesn't mean we have to go out and get disheveled and dusty, but like a beggar. Like a beggar. And that's what we are. We are like beggars before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can't be like him, yeah, if we want the dua being answered. We must be sincere, and we must sincerely ask for tawbah and forgiveness and want reform and change in our lives and do good works, yeah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we want our dua to be answered. Yeah. So that, while talking about begging, while we mentioned that, and of course begging is begging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging otherwise from human beings actually is not liked. Some people have decided that begging is completely haram for everybody. I remember going in my younger days, we're talking about in my late 20s, early 30s, we went on a trip with some active young Muslims who were, if I was in my 30s, they were actually in their late teens or in their 20s. And we went to Egypt, I remember, and we were like tourists, so from well-off places in Britain compared to the beggars that you met in some of the villages who came to the coach that we were traveling on to beg. Some of our brothers who were with us, who thought themselves ultra-religious, were nasty with the beggars, really nasty, yeah? Telling them it's haram, blah, 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 not realizing what their situation was. The sa'il and the beggar is not supposed to be thwarted and treated harshly. The Quran tells you not to do that, yeah? Not to do that. Whether their begging is justified is between them and God. Yours is to give kind words if you haven't got anything to give to people who are beggars. Yeah? Not to look at their motives or whether they were justified or not. Yeah. So this is not the way to deal. And so this idea, but and so that's why I mentioned this, because Prophet ﷺ said in hadith, various places in Sahih Muslim and in Nasa'i, which are authentic, to Qabisa. Actually, Qabisa, one of the companions, says in the hadith, one of the two of the hadith, he said, I had gotten myself into debt. So I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him, begging him for help, begging him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hold on, Qabisa, we're hoping some finance will come into the treasury," meaning of Medina. "Yeah, and if it does, I will give you from it." Yeah, but no, Qabisa, and this is when he hears the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna al-mas'alata la tahil illa li ahadi thalatha." That begging is not allowed. It's haram except in three situations. So there is an exception, brothers and sisters. There is an exception when begging is allowed. What are the three situations? رَجُلٍ تَحَمَّلَ حَمَالَةً فَحَلَّتْ لَهُ الْمَسْأَلَةُ حَتَّى يُسِيبَهَا ثُمَّ يُمْسِكُ. A person who's been burdened by debt. Yeah. They're in their situation allowed to beg if there's no other way. Yeah. Until he has fulfilled the debt and cleared the debt. Yeah. Then he must stop begging. The person must stop begging. And a person, رجل أصابته جائحة اجتاحت ماله فحلت له المسألة حتى يصيب قواما من عيش. Person whose wealth has been destroyed with some calamity that took place. Yeah. So they have nothing for sustaining them. So they're allowed to beg to the extent until they are able to sustain themselves and stand on their own feet, and then they must stop begging. Yeah. Not to make a business out of it and carry on filling the banks, etc., or providing for somebody who's in charge. And a person, ورجل أصابته فاقة حتى يقول ثلاثة من ذوي الحجة من قومه. And a person who is really poor, struck by poverty for whatever reason. And in this case, the Prophet ﷺ said in the various hadith, and three wise people from the community, trustworthy people, corroborate or are witness to the fact that this person is struck by poverty. Yeah. Then this person is also allowed to beg until they have enough sustenance to stand on their own feet. After that, they are forbidden from begging. And the Prophet ﷺ said in one of the versions, a couple of the versions of hadith after that, he said, فَمَا سِوَاهُنَّ كَمَا رَوَاهُ فِي صَحِي مُسْلِمْ. Yeah, in a report in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ carries on and says, and what is aside from that, from begging, any other reason for begging, min al-mas'alati, ya qabisatu, or qabisa, the sahabi is saying to, is suhtan ya'kuluha sahibuha suhtan. It is suht. Suht means it is haram. Yeah? It is forbidden. Yeah? And so they are taking from that which is haram, if they are begging for any other reason or beyond these reasons. That's talking about begging in regards to begging from people, but there are exceptions. Reality is dua and begging, imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sincere making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, we have nothing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything comes from Allah, glory be to Him. Talking of dua, there are special situations and times, is there not, brothers and sisters, for making dua? And there's lots of them. Before we come to special times, actually dua is to be done all the time, isn't it? Dhikr and dua are the same thing. Remembering Allah is, remembering Allah, why do we remember Allah? To ask for His generosity, His forgiveness and His mercy. Dhikr and dua, that's why Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radhiyallahu anha said an authentic hadith, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الله كل أحيان. كل أحيان. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remembered Allah all the time. Yeah. And do we not have also an authentic hadith? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to said himself that I do istighfar, ask Allah for forgiveness, more than 70 marra kulla yawm, or more than 100 times a day, or 70 times a day, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning tens and tens of times a day, constantly asking Allah for forgiveness. And it is reported in authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ said that, for example, Mughira said, from the Sahaba, Mughira ibn Shu'bah, he said, قَامَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَتَّى تَوَرَّمَتْ قَدَمَاهُ فَقِيلَ لَهُ. And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to stand in prayer, meaning especially in the night, until his feet used to become swollen from edema, from long standing. It was said to him, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. That Allah has forgiven all your past and future sins. Meaning, why are you then doing this? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبَدًا شَكُورًا. Subhanallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, we love you so much for your sincere humility and beauty of your character to show us where we really are. He said, should I not then be a grateful servant? Should I not then be a grateful servant? If that's what Allah has done, forgiven my past, and this is his gratitude. And Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha says similar in Hadith Muslim, saying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand in prayer until his feet used to swell, and that she said to him, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, his wife, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha said, أَتَسْنَوْ هَذَا وَقَدْ غُفِرَ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. You're doing this? Meaning, why are you doing this until your feet become swollen when all your past and future sins are forgiven? And he said, Ya Aishatu, afala akuna abdan shakura? Same thing. Yeah. Should I not then be a grateful servant, O Aisha? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, actually, dua is for all times, is it not, brothers and sisters, for us? Yeah. We can never do enough dua, but and that's what we're talking about. Of course, one of the things I've already mentioned about dua is sincerity in dua. Yeah? Sincerity in dua. With a sincerity means wanting to be forgiven and to reform. And that is part and parcel of being sincere. Special times, nevertheless, for dua, aside from being any time and all the time, yeah. We have, for example, special times and special people. So we've had one hadith already to do with this particular hadith, number 10, that we've been discussing. And that was to do with the dua of three kind of people is always answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That hadith, which was good, was mentioned. In the class last week and the week before, I mentioned it, I think. And that was the mazloom, the one who is oppressed or has been wronged. Yeah, their dua meaning against the wrongdoer and the oppressor. And that doesn't always mean on a political level, brothers and sisters. The wrongdoer can be you and me. Yeah, somebody's deceived them, somebody's cheated them out of their money, somebody's scandalize them, all the lied about them, all these things. One is the wrongdoer and the other is the wronged one. Their dua against that person, Allah will answer, brothers and sisters. May Allah make us not of the from the zalimeen. And then the dua of the traveler. Remember that? Yeah? The dua of the traveler. And then the dua of the parents for their children. Subhanallah. Yeah, if we're children, remember that regarding your parents. Yeah, remember that as one of the great benefits of kindness and goodness to parents, that the dua of the parents is accepted. And also the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about three peoples whose dua, thalathatu, la turad da'watuhum. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim and Tirmidhi. Three whose dua is not rejected, meaning it is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are they? Al-Imam al-Adil. This is the just ruler. Second, as-sa'im hina yuftir. That the fasting person, that's in Ramadan and outside Ramadan, when they break their fast, yeah, when they're breaking their fast, is a special time for making dua, and a special person for making dua, that is Hina Yuftir. Wa da'watul mazloom, again the mention of the one who's been wronged. Yeah, that the dua is not turned back, is always answered. Aside from that, what we have to remember, our salah is dua. If dua is ibadah, then salah is ibadah. And the original meaning of salah is dua. But when we therefore do our salah, beginning with a takbir and ending with taslim, we're in a state of ibadah and dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is obligatory dua. That is obligatory. Yeah. So if we want other du'as to be answered and we're not doing the obligatory salah five times a day, which how can du'as be answered when I'm not doing that which Allah has obligated and which is most loving to Him, which is salah done at its time? Yeah, that's like being in the category of that person, yeah, that's mentioned in the hadith, how can du'a be answered? Yeah, you're doing clear haram, an offense to Allah, you don't want to do ibadah of Him, which is the obligatory du'a and ibadah of Him five times a day, of the fara'id, the fard rakas, and then you make du'a. Yeah. How can it be answered? Again, same idea. So that is part of the du'a. And then, when we're talking about salah, salah itself is a du'a, I've said. But in salah even, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربه وهو ساجدا فأكثر الدعاء رواه مسلم. As reported in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the nearest a slave is, yeah, from his or her Lord, Rabb, is when he or she is in sujood. So increase in doing dua in that position. Sujood, that is the best position, yeah, for doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pleading with Him, brothers and sisters. Because that is showing real our reality of being fuqara, yeah, with our faces on the floor, which the disbeliever finds strange. But it is not strange for believers, is it, brothers and sisters? That humility, yeah, of putting the face on the ground, which we're so proud of otherwise, and how it looks, always looking in the mirror and how we come across to other people, but putting that before God, we don't put it down on the floor or bow down or do sujood to any other human being, kings or queens or whoever they are, yeah, but to Allah, that's what we show. And because that's the reality of who we are actually as human beings before the Creator. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that position, because that humility will produce the best character in this. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that position from His creatures. Not because that position benefits Allah. Does it elevate Allah when we go down in sujood? Makes no difference. Huwa al-ghaniyul innahu, huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. For surely He is the one who is above all need and all praiseworthy anyway. Makes no difference. Makes no two hooks of difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we do or not. But it does to us. It does to us. So increase in making dua in sujood. In fard salah, in any salah, outside salah, go in sujood, that's fine. And plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make your du'as in the language you understand. Yeah, it is good to learn the du'as while we're on the du'a. It is good to learn the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, if you can learn them in Arabic, as long as you learn them with meaning. I would say the people who don't understand it with meaning and just doing the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not knowing what they're saying, then do them in English. Do the translation so you understand why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught this du'a. Otherwise, you're just doing it as though it was some sort of magical formula. You don't even know what you're asking for. You need to know what you're asking for. Unlike salah, which came in Arabic, and we should understand the meaning of Fatiha, at least in there, and when we say Subhan Rabbi Yala Adim, Subhan Rabbi Yala Ala, Allahu Akbar, the rest of dua, there's no requirement according to all ulama reality of being done in Arabic. Do it in English. Learn some of the du'as of the Prophet, yes, But you don't have enough to limit yourself to those. You do dua from your own heart. But the du'as of the Prophet actually show you how to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? Unless you know Arabic, do them in English. Get the translations, do them in English, so your heart and mind feel and know what you're asking for. And it'll produce more humility in us if we do it like that, brothers and sisters. So salah, but du'a in sajda is special, brothers and sisters. Prophet also said, لا يرد الدعاء بين الأذان والإقامة. Special time for making dua is when you hear the adhan and before the iqama of the muazzin, yeah, happens. It's a special time when dua is not rejected. So that's another special time. After salah is a special time for making dua. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah three times, and then say Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Yeah, surely Allah, you are peaceful. Yeah, and peace and security comes from you. So this is the dua while asking forgiveness from Allah. This is the way of the Prophet taught various du'as to be done after salah, not as an obligation, as a recommendation. They saw Sahaba saw him doing them. For example, he would say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatika. Oh Allah, I ask for your help in your remembrance and in your gratitude and in the best of worshipping, worship, meaning I ask your help to help me to worship you. Or he made a dua, which is also authentic, mentioned Abu Dawood in a hadith, Rabbi qini azabak yawma tab'athu ibadak. My Lord, yeah, save me from your punishment on the day that you raise up your slaves. Yeah, on the day of resurrection, meaning. These are some of the du'as, but the idea of doing du'a after salah, the idea of reciting Ayatul Kursi after every salah, yeah, which Prophet which is likely to ensure a place in Jannah, yeah, special time for making du'a. Special time for making du'a in the last third of the night, before Fajr prayer starts, is it not, brothers and sisters? That really is. Quran indicates it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمْعًا. Yeah, those who forsake their beds in the depths of night. Yeah. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Yeah, calling, making dua to their Lord. Yeah, out of fear, out of hope. Out of fear and out of hope. And when the Prophet he recited this ayah actually, Tatajafa Junubuhum al Madaji Ayaduna Rabbah Khawfan wa Tama'a wa Mimma Razaqnahum Yunfiqun. They especially do dua, and it can include salah and making dua last third of the night before Fajr time. It doesn't have to be every day, but sometime we must find that special time. And I'll mention in a hadith why that's special as well. Prophet recited this ayah, which goes on then to say the ayah carries on, and they spend of that, yeah, they spend of that which we have provided them as sustenance, spend in good ways, in other words. فَلَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on in the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam quoting the verses. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. No soul knows of that which is hidden for them, of a coolness of their eyes as reward. No soul knows that which is hidden for them as reward, as a coolness of as a reward, as coolness of their eyes, as a reward for what they used to do, meaning of good deeds and making dua at that time special. So the Prophet ﷺ said, with mentioning this hadith, the Sahaba said, this is in Sahih Muslim, Prophet ﷺ was describing Jannah for us one day, and he ended by summarizing it with this verse, And also he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fiha ma la aynun ra'at wa ma la udhunun samiat wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. In it, in paradise, is that which no eye has ever seen, set eyes on. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard in paradise are things, and that which no mind has ever even imagined. Subhanallah. Yeah, hidden rewards for the one. Yeah, and he mentions it especially linked with those who especially make dua in the last third of the night. And Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in authentic hadith, which is in Bukhari and others, that from Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet ﷺ said, يَتَنَزَّلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكْ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. It's not linked with Laylatul Qadr or Laylatul Nisfu Sha'ban, 15th of Sha'ban. This is every night, brothers and sisters, in the authentic hadith. Yeah, the one that mentioned it just as Sha'ban is not authentic. This is every night that Prophet ﷺ said, our Lord, Glory, blessed and exalted is He, every night descends to the heavens surrounding the earth. No point asking what this descent is. We don't understand Allah. We don't understand what the heavens surrounding the earth means, except the idea of nearness to us. Hina yabqa thuluthul layl, when the last third of the night remains. Yeah, last third of the night. Thuluthul layl al-akhir. Hina yabqa thuluthul layl al-akhir. Yaqul, meaning our Lord then says, Man yad'uni fa'astajiba lahu. Who is calling, making dua to me so I can answer him or her? Man yas'aluni fa'u'tiyahu. Who is asking something of me so I can give it to him or her? Wa man yastaghfiruni. فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Who is asking forgiveness of me so I can forgive him or her? This call is being made in the last third of the night, brothers and sisters, every night. Who is asking at that time? Who is asking forgiveness? We are so weak that we're not there. It's not an obligation, but there's a special time for making dua, is it not, brothers and sisters? Indeed it is. Another special time is Yawmul Jum'ah, the day of Jum'ah, the blessed day. And if we bring all the ahadith together that mention this special time, it is in the last hour after Salatul Asr, meaning the last hour before Maghrib comes. That is a special time for making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laylatul Qadr is a special night of ibadah, and therefore a special night for making dua, is it not, brothers and sisters? Yes. And as Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what shall I say? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do this dua on Layla. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul af, fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, surely you are all forgiving. You love to forgive and pardon. So pardon me. Yeah. So that is a special night. Actually, Laylatul Nisfu Sha'ban in one good hadith indicates it's a good time for making dua, the night. Nothing about fasting, nothing, anything else. All the rest are exaggerated things. But one good hadith is about the idea, because deeds are raised up. Yeah, and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah forgives all except the mushrik, yeah, the one doing shirk, and the two who are boycotting one another. And for them, Allah says, delay it for them, delay it for them. So there is something special about that time as well. Special occasion and places, well, Arafat, yeah, the greatest day is the day of Arafat. Yeah, and Hajj is Arafat, as the Prophet ﷺ said, because its essence is Arafat. To stand at Arafat in that place, that blessed place, making dua where the Prophet ﷺ stood and made dua, that is Hajj, and that which brings you back as though it was the day that your mother bore you, free of all sin. So that is indeed a special time for making dua. Making dua at the Haram, the Kaaba, where where ibadah, a salah, is rewarded hundreds, a thousand times the reward of salah in any other masjid. Masjid al-Nabawi, special place for making dua, where salah is rewarded a thousand times in comparison to other mosques around the world. And Al-Aqsa, where not 500 times, that not authentic, that hadith. The authentic hadith mentions where salah is 250 times the reward of that which is in other mosques around the world. So they are special places for making dua, are they not? I have to look at the time, and we'll conclude, inshallah, with two more things. One, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's du'as show us two things I want to mention. One is how to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is beginning by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah? Mentioning His greatness, mentioning how utterly we dependent are on Him. And that if you look at the du'as, whether inside salah, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had du'as at various junctures before he did Surah Fatiha, in ruku, in sujood, he has du'as, in at-tahiyyat, he has du'as, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Most of them we are unaware of, but they are mentioned in authentic ahadith. Yeah. So the way was always by praising and glorifying Allah, yeah, mentioning His greatness, mentioning Him as being most forgiving and most merciful. Yeah. And then part of dua is imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua, and with the dua also is sending salatu salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sending peace and blessings on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That dua without doing that is not complete. Sending salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, either in the middle or at the end, wherever we do it, but to have that part of a dua is the way of the believers to do that, which is recommended for us to do. And to make dua for, well, make dua for, of course, you don't make dua for that which is haram. Yeah. Ya Allah, help me to have zina. Ya Allah, help me with success with my pub that I'm selling wine and alcohol in. I mean, what kind of dua is that? That's back to that, the man who is steeped in haram in the hadith. Yeah. We're back to that scenario again. How can it be answered? Dua for just dunya. Yeah, things in dunya, forgetting akhirah. Yeah, Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. There are amongst human beings who say, our Lord, give us in this dunya, whatever they're asking for to do with dunya, whether it's wealth and success or children, whatever it is, all linked with dunya. Nothing else, full stop. Allah says in the Quran, there is nothing for them in the hereafter. Because that's all they may or may not get what they're asking for in dunya, but there's nothing in the hereafter. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And from amongst them are those who say, yeah, oh, our Lord, give us both good in this world and good in the hereafter and save us from the fire of hell. That's one of our beautiful du'as from the Quran that we should do. But the implication there is what you're asking for, that is, which is going to be everlasting, or just, yeah, of course we should ask for things in dunya which are good as well. There's nothing to stop us from doing that. Couple more things that we shouldn't ask. Yeah, we shouldn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us difficult times. Yeah, we shouldn't pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us in difficult situations as though we need to prove ourselves. And the dua of the Quran is opposite to Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aftan, Rabbana la tahmil alayna isran kama hamalta wa alladhina min qablina. Those du'as, look up the meaning. I haven't got time to go into that because I'm trying to finish because we've gone over the time. And also not to make du'a for death. Yeah? Prophet ﷺ said, Hadith in Bukhari, لا يتمنى أحدكم الموت. None of you should wish for death. Never mind doing suicide. None of you even should make dua for death. وَإِمَّا مُحْسِنًا وَلَعَلَّهُ يَزْدَادُ. If it was a good person, then not having death, Allah's giving you opportunity to increase your ihsan and your good works. وَإِمَّا مُسِيئًا. And if it is a bad and person doing has been doing bad deeds, فَلَعَلَّهُ يَسْتَعْتَبْ. Yeah, person who's been doing bad deeds shouldn't ask for a death because perhaps they're getting an opportunity from refraining and doing tawbah. Yeah, they're being given delay and an opportunity to make amends, as it were. Hadith in Bukhari Muslim says, لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت. None of you should wish for death. لدر نصابه, because of some calamity or difficulty that has befallen them. فإن كان لابد فائلا. However, here the Prophet ﷺ said, if it really is necessary that he's, meaning he or she is going through such a duress, then he or she should say, فَلْيَقُلْ أَلَّهُمَّ أَحْيِنِي مَا كَانَتِ الْحَيَاةِ خَيْرًا لِي. Oh Allah, give me life as long as life is good for me. وَتَوَفَّنِي مَا كَانَتِ الْوَفَاةِ خَيْرًا لِي. And give me death if death is best for me. You leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. So that's the limit of where you go. Du'as are always answered. This is a common question people ask, because we always want instant du'a and something, you know, angels to come down from the heaven and because we made the du'a for it to be just. Now, how are they answered? Du'a is either answered, it may be answered immediately, it may be answered with a bit of delay. Or, how else? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays answering the du'a. This is to try and test his slave. Are they really sincere? Or just because the du'a is not answered, they're going to suddenly throw their arms up after a few days or a few weeks or a few months. Ah, forget it, I'm not bothering. That's not sincerity linked with worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it can be delayed. And it can be delayed not just in this world, but it may be delayed, yeah, the du'a, and answered with rewards in the hereafter, it means as well. Yes? Du'a is always answered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always hears the du'a, always answers. Yeah. Thirdly, it may be answered by actually protecting us from an evil which we were not aware of. Yeah. And that's the idea of trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we make the du'a. Yeah. Sometimes we make a du'a, and if it is actually not beneficial for us, if we're sincere, again, Allah doesn't give us what we're asking for, gives us something else, and we are convinced it's best. Yeah? But we must trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a reason why something has not been answered as to how we think it should be answered at the time we think it should be answered. But always believe, brothers and sisters, and it is disbelief to believe, to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hear and answer the du'as of the sincere ones. The problem can be with ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us like the picture of the scenario of this person who is steeped in haram, not sincere, yeah, and calling out, Ya Rab, without really any volition for change and any sincerity for change, without obedience and subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us subservient to Him, forgive us our sins, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as for this world and the hereafter for each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and shower His mercy upon us. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. Any question, brother and sister? I'm sorry, I think I've gone over the time by a good 10 minutes, but any questions on what we've covered today?
JazakAllah khair, subhanAllah, beautiful coverage. I mean, it's a huge, huge topic. I just wanted to quickly ask two things. I mean, one is about praying for your parents who's passed away. It's a sadaqa jariya from the children to the parents. Number two is, people going to, you know, in the park, going to these mazars and qabr of a scholar, and then praying over there versus going to somebody who is a scholar and asking, can you pray for us? So those kind of troubles are there in the society, unfortunately.
Okay, let me answer. Yes. Sadaqa jai for parents, for salih awlad. Yeah, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, authentic hadith, that deeds stop, yeah, except for a knowledge which has been left from a person who's died, which is benefiting others, or wealth that they've invested, built a well or a school that's benefiting and helping others. All those deeds are carrying on as rewards, even though the person's gone. And thirdly, as you say, salih awlad. Good children, that means believing children, not any old children, and their good works as well as their du'as for their parents, isn't it? That's so beautiful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why we make du'a, don't we? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us salih awlad, give us pious, righteous children. Allahumma ameen. Going to scholars to ask, you know, that's nothing wrong with that, to ask somebody who you think is a good and pious person to make dua for you, as long as we don't think that, as long as we don't do only that and we don't do dua ourselves. We do dua ourselves, but to ask who we think is pious in our minds, people who are, as far as we're aware, and to ask them, as ulama did for all the time. They asked their teachers, they asked other scholars who they had great respect for, so as muttaqin, to ask them to make dua for them. Yeah, that's not putting them on a position, a pedestal of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No, it's the idea of you're hoping that somebody else's dua, who is more closer and more muttaqin to Allah, will be accepted. But that's not negating that you, the prime person who needs to do the dua, is yourself. That is not the same as going to the grave of even a great scholar who's dead and now asking them, because they can't even help themselves. That is wrong. That is wrong. Yeah. The dua is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Not to go and pray. And to the extent that you don't go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grave except to say salam, you don't then start begging the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and doing dua for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah. Yeah, that's for him, never mind anybody else. Yeah, so that is clearly wrong, and people have misunderstood, and out of ignorance people are doing this. I tell you, most of the time it is out of ignorance. So I don't go around calling them kuffar or mushriks and things like that. Labels are not there for us to just throw around willy-nilly when they say they believe in Allah and the last messenger. Yeah, be careful that we don't throw labels, but we can call something wrong or right. I hope that answers or clarifies that issue.
Assalamualaikum, Shaykh. Jazakallah khairan for again. Lovely to see you again, mashallah, in these different. I just wanted to ask about, right near the very beginning, you asked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wonderful promise to change our bad deeds into good. Are there certain prerequisites for that? Is it the humbleness? Is it the purity of the mind? Is it about the true intention to do good after having been perhaps not so good? Jazakallah.
Yeah, it's in the ayah itself, isn't it? After mentioning the major sins like zina and adultery, then the Quran actually goes on, "Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan faulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat wa kana Allahu ghafurur rahima." So except the one who does tawbah. And we get tawbah from other ayahs. I mentioned, "Tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha." Somebody does sincere tawbah while having real belief. Wa amana. Yeah. Man taba wa amana. Wa amila amalan salihan. And they do righteous works with all that sincerity and iman. Subhanallah. You know, it's left it quite simple. That if we're sincere and we strive, dear brothers and sisters, look at the striving of the man who killed 99 and then 100 people. But he made a resolve after speaking to a wise worshipper of Allah rather than an ignorant one who became the 100th victim, the ignorant one. The wise person telling him, yes, there is still chance for you to have forgiveness despite killing 100 people. Yeah, but you also need to make changes and leave this place and leave your environment and leave your meaning colleagues as well. Go to a good place where there's good people. Yeah. And he made a resolve. He didn't even get to do any good deeds in the good place, did he? Yeah. But his tawbah and resolve was he set off on the journey. He was on the way of the journey and Allah forgave him, brothers and sisters. Subhanallah. Allah is of forgiving, most merciful indeed.
What surah was that, Akhi?
The one about Illa man taba wa amana?
Yes.
I think it's Surah Al-Furqan 25. The ayah, I can...
Ayah 70, can I add? Yes.
Ayah?
70.
Thank you very much. Who's that? Quick on the draw.
Brother Sahel.
Suhail, very good. My phone's here in front of me, so I can't quickly check. But I know it's Surah Al-Furqan. And the other one about sincere tawbah is Surah Tahreem. Surah Tahreem, which is 66, I think. In the middle of it. Any other questions, brothers and sisters? While you're all on, next week is a break. I've done 3 weeks on the trot, so 1 week off, and then we'll begin with hadith number 11, bi'idhnillah. I hope that's all right with you. Don't be too disappointed. Any other questions before we close? Jazakumullah khairan. If there's no questions, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, reward you. Please remember me in your du'as, remember each other, Muslim Ummah. And we finished by sending Salatu Salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also saying wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Our last call is praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Salam alaikum.